Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un sausage burrito es solo $1.50. Así que échale salsa picante o ketchup a tu sausage burrito con todo en McDonald's. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back to Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
All right. Hour number two. 844-843-6879 if you want to get involved. It's Donnie and Kevin here. Time to guess JP's prop bet. And he said it was a little bit of a long shot here on a touchdown prop. My guess, I'm going to go Pittsburgh defense plus 950, K-Dub.
Yeah, I think he's looking at the defensive side of the ball. I think maybe, though, Cleveland's defense.
Plus. Whoa! But I think we cover the board. Defenses. JP.
I'm going to take George Pickens. I'm buying the Trubisky.
Wow. So where's Pickens at? What's, oh, plus 490 here. Well, it takes us one catch. You don't need 5.5 catches.
What's
or 95 yards.
Trubisky, he was doing an interview this week, and he was talking about how he needs to get the ball to George Pickens in particular. Oh, I think he's probably the best option in the red zone. Outside of Freiermuth.
All right.
So that's where JP's going. No. Can't be
I like a little, kind of press conference bet like that. I'm into it. I'm happy with that play from JP.
We're going to get to some college football here, K-Dub. And I don't want to shortchange it because I got some pretty fun topics to throw at you. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I'm sideswiping this right now is there's a tweet that came out 2 minutes ago. And it's breaking news. Not on a player, but this is the stuff that I don't understand. Are you ready for this one, K-Dub? It deals with the New York Yankees. Breaking. New York Gaming Commission spokesman Brad Mayone, nice last name there, tells me the commission will be approving Triple Crown bets later today as Aaron Judge's pursuit of the rare achievement heats up. MVP, Cy Young, etc., still unavailable. Difference is Triple Crown doesn't involve voting. Mark Saxon, I guess a beat writer, said that out there.
Yeah.
No, like, because I could bet on it or whatever. I guess New York has some odd principles, and quite frankly, none of them make any sense to me as why prop bets and stuff you can't see if you're in New York but everywhere else.
Yeah, so this is the thing. If this was one of those scenarios where it was like, listen, we don't do anything that involves voting. It's one of our rules.
Crazy.
We could then have a debate on it, right? But why New York thinks they're better than New Jersey, right, is completely beyond me. The problems in New York go so far beyond that. You cannot bet NBA awards, NFL. You can't bet college player props.
Yes.
You can't bet NFL primetime match specials. I mean, stop it right there. Stop it right there. Ohio State, Notre Dame week one, you couldn't bet on CJ Stroud. What?
But I don't even know.
It doesn't make any sense, though.
Like, somebody had to in the Chamber of Commerce in New York, who probably knows nothing about gambling, just looked in the, oh, we can't allow this. It's like New Jersey. Hey, man, you know what? That guy that lives 100 miles in New Jersey from St. Peter's, he might influence that game. But he can bet Temple 10 miles away from his house in Pennsylvania because he can't influence that game. Do you see what I mean? Like, who? It's obviously the non-gambler is putting this out there, and nobody understands why it's there.
But the problem for me is if you really believe that, okay, I can't put college player props out there because someone could pay C.J. Stroud to go under his yards, okay, then you shouldn't have gambling. Because, you know what, it's probably easier for C.J. Stroud, actually, to go under, to like, to juice a spread than juice his passing yards, right? I mean, what's he going to do? Miss wide open players all game long? I mean, check run?
Hurt his draft status for $300.
Exactly. Come on now, right? So, but then again, Donnie, there's a whole other level to this. I actually, hey, Donnie, what are the odds for the 504?
Yeah.
Not because I'm lazy. I don't have it in New York.
It's ridiculous.
But how does that make sense? So the college stuff, even if we, like, okay, you can't do voting because voting can be rigged. Ridiculous. Whatever. I'm not getting into a debate with you. You can't do college player props because they might be, you know, getting paid off. You're a clown and you shouldn't have any say in what's going on, but I'm not getting into a debate with you. You don't have NFL match specials. Why?
Why? Yes.
Donnie, it's a FanDuel
created market. Too easy to manipulate. Like if you had, if they know you have the 504, like each quarterback is going to conspire to get that over the hump, regardless of the game. Like, what's the point of that?
That's what I'm saying. Like, that is the biggest one to me. Is this idea that it's like, we just don't want to give out like big juicy options in New York. What? What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
But I like the fact that did they have an emergency meeting? Like, you know what? Judge is in a Triple Crown. Let's go activate this and put together a panel to see why we can. You idiots.
Right. Yeah, I mean, come on. And, I mean, the whole thing of, like, voting and all of this, you know, nonsense here, right? I mean, that everyone is aware that that is an underlying comment to say it can be fixed. I mean, you sound so dumb. I mean, there's no other way to put it. If you think that they're fixing the MVP races and things of that nature, I mean, how do you even come to that conclusion, though?
Like, by the way, yes. Well, can't you reach out to Aaron Judge, offer him $1,000 to strike out 5 times so he doesn't actually get the Triple Crown?
But how can we can bet on drafts?
Yeah.
You think it's more likely to you know, the first overall pick?
Yeah,
I mean, that's
no
inside information. Come on now.
No sense whatsoever. But you know we're going to make sense of college football this weekend. Not the top-level teams. We're going to have fun. Come on back with us. It's Moneyline on
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number 2 in full effect right here on Moneyline. Sirius XM channel 159 on the grid. It's Donnie Wrightside, Kevin Walsh. We are going to dip into college football. But you were at the game Monday night, Eagles-Vikings. This is interesting here. Sam McQuillan on Twitter puts this out. More than 8,000 fans logged into sports betting apps at the Vikings-Eagles game Monday night. So that's 8.7 of all attendees per GeoComply. Now, you say, well, how would they even know that? Well, that's not even all the – because usually when you go to the game, which is what I used to do, back in 2003 when they first opened the stadium – good luck making phone calls, Kevin. Good luck using your 3G network because everybody's trying to use it. Well, a few years later, they got smart and said, hey, you know what, let's improve the fan experience. They're going to stop coming. Let's give everybody Wi-Fi. So if you were logged onto the Eagles Wi-Fi, that's how they know that took place. Now, were you one of those people on Eagles Wi-Fi checking out the lines?
Yeah, I had to get to Eagles Wi-Fi because I had to see the score of the other game as I was making sure that, you know, in the trailing by 30 passing scenario, Ryan Tannehill was in. He was throwing the ball to come to find out he was not throwing the football, which was obviously a lot of fun. And then also finding out that in a rushing situation, after Devin Singletary got the ball on first down, the Bills had Case Keenum throw 2 consecutive pass plays and go 3 and out. So, yes, I did end up on the Y. The thing is it you automatically join on Wi-Fi. So unless you turn your Wi-Fi off, you're going to end up on the Eagles.
Is it?
Free
is that
Wi-Fi.
The case?
Yeah.
Because they don't even say just put the phony email in anymore. Because that's how it used to. That's how they used to get you. Like, no. Hey, get on our Wi-Fi, but put in your Wi-Fi or email address.
No, unless I was joined somehow before.
No. Yes, you said you went to a preseason game, correct?
Yeah.
you probably did it at that game because it remembers. It remembers your
maybe.
Yeah.
But I think my brother was on it, and he was not at the preseason game. Nah, I don't maybe. Think he signed in. I could check with him later for curiosity points. But, yeah, I'm sure it's something.
You could be right then.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could.
But at the end of the day, I'm sure people are there. I also, like, we love to check lines. Like, because, again, my brother and I, like, we love this stuff. Like, mm-hmm. one check line's not even like, oh, I got to get in, but just, like, curiosity. Right, like player props and things like that. Like, oh, how many yards does Kirk Cousins, you know, here in the fourth quarter? Like, oh, projected for 100 more yards. You kind of just mm-hmm. those kind of it adds a little extra something to the game to follow along. So definitely, we're checking live lines out.
I got to tell you, the evolution of the game day experience is so interesting just from 20 years ago because the advent of, obviously gambling wasn't legal, but fantasy football was starting to become large where they actually dedicated like a separate scoreboard just for scrolling fantasy stats because they didn't have the Wi-Fi in the stadium. You couldn't get it. And people were literally complaining like, hey, I want to watch my fantasy football team. I can't see anything out here. And also, a year and a half, 2 years later, maybe around like 05 or 06, they gave us handheld devices as season ticket holders where we could watch the red zone from the handheld
wow.
device while you were at the game. Because they understood at that point, we're going to start losing people. Because me, like I'm older now and I don't go down to the game anymore because I, you know, that's
yeah.
work. I'm tired and I can just watch it. But the game day experience, they tried to elevate that every single year for fear of losing that person mm-hmm. going, I'm not going down there because I can't see anything else. Yeah.
I don't think I would go on a Sunday Eagles game because there's too much going on
True.
Elsewhere yep. that mm-hmm. I think I'd be on my phone as much as I'd be watching the game. Right.
Correct.
Like even because like I said, I was checking the doubleheader a little mm-hmm. bit. Now, not that much. One, it was nowhere near as important. And two, it was a blowout. Right.
Yes.
So that wasn't a, but if that was a really close game, fourth quarter drive, you know, one of those teams has the football. I'm trying to pull the stream up and kind of, yeah. you know what I mean? And holding it in the phone while we're watching the game in front of us. So, yeah, I would imagine. But the nice thing is, Don, I think the Eagles have another three primetime home games this season.
Yeah, yeah, which is good. They're the ones that you can go to, which is why I said, I'm not going to go to any of those games because I typically have to wake up in the morning. But I said, like, and it looks more and more like this is going to be the case, and who cares how expensive it gets, I will go to an Eagles postseason game. Because typically that's going to be maybe a Saturday night game, Saturday afternoon game, Sunday afternoon game, where you're not fighting and saying, hey, I got 16 games. The NFL, they don't go, you know, double shots for those games. They're individualized games that you mm-hmm. can get to. So we'll see how that plays out. But in the advent of improved game day experience, we do have two Thursday night football games on tonight in college football. And the good part about this, Kevin, both of those lines, 2.5 tonight. So not one of those, hey, 30.5, enjoy this game. West Virginia, mm-hmm. Virginia Tech, Coastal Carolina, and Georgia State. First game, West Virginia is -2.5 points after opening at the FanDuel Sportsbook, getting 2.5 from Virginia Tech. The total across the board has risen since opening, 47.5 to 50.5. 1-2, West Virginia, 2-1, Virginia Tech. And by the way, just looking at statistics here, through three games, West Virginia's compiled some filthy offensive numbers here, K-Dub.
Yeah, they really have. This kid, I don't know if you've, you know, I mean, a lot of people probably actually are familiar with C.J. Donaldson because of the backyard brawl, that standalone mm-hmm. game, the excitement around it. You know, if you look, he's listed as a tight end. I mean, certainly not. He's a rock star running back that is at the moment three mm-hmm. games in, still averaging 9.4 yards per carry. He's still got 6 touchdowns on the season. He has been phenomenal for West Virginia. If you're looking in the props market, though, they actually don't have his rushing total. And I think it's because he's a tricky guy to book. Because, again, if you say, hey, this guy's going to get 10 carries, well, what's his number? You know, in the mid-50s or so?
Yeah.
Again, the guy's averaging 9 yards per carry. So you can't put him in the 90s. He's a tough guy to book. What they do have booked, though, is his counterpart in the backfield in Tony Mathis Jr., had 62.5 rushing yards. He still is out carrying Donaldson on a game-to-game basis, which is pretty interesting. But I mean, because of the freshman status, whatever it might be, it makes Mathis up against Vatek, where their vulnerability early season is probably on the ground. It makes Mathis an interesting bet to go over 62.5 and hope to cross the finish line with workload. He actually has been over that number in 2 of his 3 games so far this season.
Well, I got to tell you, look at the Kansas game that they played back on the 10th of September. They had 146 yards on the ground, 355 in the air, and lost by double digits, which is pretty impressive. Now, a lot of these stats also buoyed by playing Towson last week, and that was a 65-7 game, which, my goodness, like, Towson is an FCS school. I understand that. 316 on the ground, 308 in the air. So outrageous stuff. But even if you look in the Pittsburgh game, still nothing to shake a, you know, your thumb at. 190 on the ground, 214 in the air. So they've shown a propensity to sort of light it up a little bit on offense. Any leans, any sides, anything you like on that game?
As far as the side goes, the problem you still kind of have, right? Like, look at the Vatek schedule, right? What do you want me to take from a Wofford game? Okay, I guess BC's solid, but you lost to ODU. And then I saw some people saying, man, this team lost to Kansas. Kansas is a win away from being, like, ranked inside the top 25.
It's crazy.
Okay.
Kansas, three straight, like, 50 points all the time, Kansas. That's what they do.
and here's the thing. Like, I know for Kansas, right, again, it's like, look, they beat West Virginia. It was a special upset. No, no, no. That team beat Houston that was ranked inside the top 25, and they smashed Houston, by the way, 48-30. That's supposed to be a very good Houston defense. So there's no slander in West Virginia to me for losing to Kansas. The reason I lean towards West Virginia, I've not seen enough from Vatek on the offensive side of the ball. Wells, the Marshall transfer, does not look great. West Virginia's defensive strength is the ground game, so I don't think Vatek really, for me, has enough juice. I know, Donnie, I'm sure you know this as well. You see 2.5 road favorite, and you go, uh-oh, that's trouble, right?
Yeah.
But West Virginia, to me, at the minimum, I can say this. I do think they deserve their favorite status. I lean with them in the game. I think their offensive ceiling's way higher.
Betting on college football is a lot of fun. Betting on college football can be very stressful. But when you're betting on college football, Kevin, don't say you're going to blow up a nuclear reactor if your team loses.
Oh.
My goodness. Find out about this story next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it here, hour number two, Moneyline. Donnie Wrightside, Kevin Wall, SiriusXM channel 159, right here on the grid, 305-306. Another college football game on tonight, Coastal Carolina and Georgia State. That's a -2.5 total of 63.5, up 10 full points from the opening number at FanDuel. Any reasoning for that, K-Dub, or is it just these two defenses, one giving up 283 in the air game, the other in Georgia State, 304?
Yeah, so Coastal's a fascinating group because this is a team that, despite being not Power 5, people are pretty familiar with. And people certainly are familiar with their quarterback in Grayson McCall. Still there.
Yeah.
Has already won Sun Belt Player of the Year multiple times and probably a decent chance he can do it again this season. The issue, though, is he is maybe the only key contributor that has been back on this team. Now, if you look, you say, hey, look, they're 3-0. They're not covering opening number versus Buffalo. Obviously, the Gardner-Webb 4-point victory is nothing to write home about. They did handle their business in a game versus Army that actually did close near pick, but it's kind of underlying stuff like this, Donnie, right? 3-0, not super impressive. Then you go to Georgia State. Now, it looks like they were smashed by South Carolina. South Carolina had two punt block touchdowns in that game. That's unsustainable. Neck and neck with UNC all game long. They just weren't able to pull it out. And then a really close one-point loss to Charlotte, who is not that bad because their quarterback came back. So this is kind of one of those spots, Donnie, where you have to be following this stuff constantly. Or you have to do your research, whatever it is, you know, to fully understand how we get to a line like this. It's not inconceivable that Georgia State's the better team. The home field advantage can make the difference. But for me, you see this total. I mean, you said it opened up 52.5?
That's what it says, yeah.
I have no idea how.
10 higher. Maybe it was just one of those little glitches at the opening gate and they turned it down. But that stamps, I guess, the opening line. Unless it was, hey, we expected a hurricane to run through there, and now it's not. Yeah. Who knows?
Because But because John, just take, you know, my thoughts out of this. Look at the, like, just a pure box score look from these two teams. 52.5 doesn't make sense, right?
Yeah.
Georgia State's allowing 30 plus every single game. Coastal scores 30 plus every single game. It's a 2.5 point line. So, you know what I mean? It just, I don't see how that number started so low. Now, could it go under 62.5? Certainly. But again, like you said, that's pretty bad. Week four of a college football season to be that wrong is too much.
Two more topics I want to hit quickly here. Number one, which is maybe a Ben Scott Stevens making a donation to Nebraska. Why do I bring that up? Huskers AD Trev Alberts said Thursday there's still a little bit over of 1,000 or more tickets available for the Nebraska-Indiana game on October 1st. And okay. He says, at this point, I think the reality is we're probably on a week-to-week basis regarding the sellout streak. I think they've sold out every game since like 1950. And this isn't a 22,000-seat football stadium that's hard to get into. It is a massive, massive place. Nebraska, they love their football. They used to be a dominant program. They aren't anymore. But this is kind of interesting because that's one of those things that was always, hey, we get 100,000 here every week, regardless of good or bad. This downstreak has them thinking about, eh, who actually wants to come out and pay to watch this football team now?
And this is even worse than you can imagine. Because as we've told people a lot, this is a Nebraska team that had very legitimate expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Second best odds to win the Big Ten West preseason. A win total listed at 7.5. Man, by the way, if you made that bet, oh boy, that's tough to watch. All the double digit losses that have come there, you know, favorite, you know, losses that have already come their direction this season, they look awful. I don't blame the fans at all, but it puts Nebraska in a spot now where you go one of two ways. Do you accept your new identity as, this is going to sound extreme, but like Vanderbilt adjacent?
Oh, man.
Just a completely outmatched Power 5 school? Or can you pay and swing for the fences and bring in a major name as your new head coach?
You bring it up, it's a good point to say, are they just at the point where nobody wants to go to Nebraska? But the counterpoint is, they got to have an unlimited budget. They're getting 100,000 people in there each and every week, rabid fans that you know are donating with big money donors to get names in there, which is why they were able to say, look, we can't fire Scott Frost for another 3 years. We can't afford the buyout. If they waited 2 weeks, they would have saved millions of dollars. They didn't care. So money shouldn't be an issue. You should be. If you said, Urban Meyer, what do you want? I want $20 million a year. Done deal. 5 years, $100 million. Come coach our football team out of non-existence.
Now, can I give you this take on the Urban Meyer conversation?
Yeah.
We say, oh, Urban wouldn't want that job. I think that'd be a horrendous hire. I don't think you can hire Urban Meyer after what happened in Jacksonville. I know how different the pro and college game is, and essentially Urban Meyer maybe just needs to be a figurehead and dominate the transfer portal. But
Danny,
I'm not sure if it'll work. I mean, how low is now? Again, maybe he is still unreal. You get into him into a room, and he can kind of pull
magic. But he's smart though, K-Dub. Like, look at his choices. Florida, a absolute hotbed on a downturn. I'll go there. What are the expectations? Boy, we would love you, Urban, just to put us back in that national spotlight. He goes out and wins a couple natties. He goes to Ohio State after a losing season and goes, man, sky's the limit. I walk in here, and even if it doesn't work out, well, Ohio State's on the downtrend. They're no longer a power. Turns them in and wins a natty. Now you're looking at here going to Nebraska, one of those schools that, the same way you look at it, Kevin, Saban, went from Miami to Alabama. Alabama was not the power that they were even a decade ago. You're talking about they were happy with 500 seasons, it felt like. He goes there and goes, what do I have to lose? I'd start turning this team into a 7-4 program. You know, they're going to build a statue for me. And off he goes, you know, obviously trusting his skills and where he was, one of the best programs we've ever seen over the past 20 years. I think if Urban Meyer goes there, what's the lowest of the low? You can't get any lower than where Nebraska's been.
So do you think he's the best? Because here's one thing we know about college football as well. No names off limits. As Lincoln Riley is now the head coach at USC,
correct,
and Brian Kelly's the head coach at LSU. No name is off limits.
Yeah, correct.
Is Urban Meyer the best option on the table?
For a program that obviously sells a ton of tickets and probably has money behind it. You announce tomorrow Urban Meyer, again, or the end of the, let's just say the end of the season before like recruiting season really heats up. Urban Meyer's your head coach. You know what you do as the you know, executives there at Nebraska and the AD's office and the people that go out and money raise and boost, like, you know what? Hand it over here. We're going to get Urban Meyer. Love it. They're all fired up. They're selling out. They're spending money. That's the perfect hire for them. Because you can go the other, hey, Lance Leipold, does that fire you? No. Like, you just hired Scott Frost, which is supposed to be the grand slam of all grand slams, and it didn't work. You better one up that. You can't go, hey, this guy's young and hungry. Watch him coach.
Let me throw Luke Fickell in the conversation.
Oh, it'll be a wonderful hire. It would be a wonderful.
Him versus Urban.
Urban Meyer.
You were going to get to something, though, that I think's interesting, I think, right there.
Go.
Luke Fickell doesn't leave Cincinnati for Nebraska, does he?
No, he doesn't. No.
Right? Which is crazy.
Yeah, you leverage Cincinnati again. Hey, let me get a little bit more pay. His next jump is to the NFL, and he knows that. He's got something really good right now because if he doesn't make the move, and Cincinnati's just a good football program. I'm not talking about even making the college football playoff again. Good program, 2 years. He's signing an unlimited check. Like Matt Rhule. Matt Rhule in college got an unlimited check. I mean, you're talking about, you know, one of the most powerful owners in the NFL in Carolina and Tepper has more money than anybody. He leveraged that into one of the highest paying jobs in the sport. And look where it got him, the team. He's still getting his money, but my goodness, he could do that if you're Luke Fickell.
Oh, and I think for Fickell as well, you are now going to be coaching at a Power 5 school in the Big 12. And there, I mean, it's not ridiculous that Luke Fickell could make, he could make Cincinnati the best program in the Big 12, right? I don't think that's a crazy,
not crazy
statement.
No, they got nice stadium, a lot of people behind them, 50, 60,000 people. We've seen it last year. Yeah. Like it's a pretty good hotbed of football that they put back there.
I'm trying to think of other names, right? But big names that with big cachet. Like, all right, let's go wild.
Pete Carroll gets
fired from Seattle.
Too old. Nah, too old. I'm not going after Pete Carroll. Yeah. It turned out to be a Herm Edwards at that point. It's just recruiting violations again. That's why he bounced from SC. He's like, you know what? Jig's up here. I got to get out of here.
Yeah, but there's no violations. Like, the Pete Carroll's like, hold on, I can pay kids?
Yeah, it's true. Like, but I don't even think he would want that at that point. Like, being in that pro, he's like in the pro game, what do? You talk to your GM. Give me this player. You don't have to go fly across the country and sit in his 17-year-old living room and tell him why he should be coming to Nebraska. He don't want to do that age. He's got enough money.
Who else is even in the like, this is the thing, right? Who else is in the conversation? Who are the, like, coaches that clearly we could see being called?
Yeah, like, that would go to, like, you know, hey, James Franklin in Penn State. Well, he's not going to – he's already in the Big Ten at a pretty good program there in Penn State. He's not playing Nebraska's the great fit for me, right? You know, Harbaugh, they're not going to leave in the same conference and go to that school. Mm-mm. Like, you would have to look at, like, an SEC program, like, I don't know, Lane Kiffin or something like that, right? Like, you would need
That's
some
name
like
name.
That to try to fire it up. Yeah, because he would do that in a second. Oh, that Rabid fan base, man, I go in there and put up 30 points a game and we win some games. They'll be all about this. They'll be all
Lane's
about
this. Lane's an interesting name, I think. I think that's a good name by you. I think that's a good name.
Yeah.
I don't think Jimbo works because it's, I mean, it's just too much money to get rid of him.
No way. Yeah, exactly. Like, you're taking a massive pay cut to go there. What would the up? You could give me $200 million as a contract. My goodness.
Yeah, I don't think that. Not,
you know who's going to get angry? You know who will get angry at the end of the season? Watch this one pop up. Steelers, week 15. Hey, Mike, heard you were going to SC. No, I'm not. Don't you ever say that again. Hey, Mike, heard you going to Nebraska this time. Watch out for that one down
Even
the line. That'll be pretty
insulting.
Fun. Exactly. They'll insult him down the line, which would be pretty funny to actually watch it play out. We're talking football here on a Thursday afternoon on Moneyline. Come on back with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Moneyline, 20 on the gun here. Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh. If you want to get involved here, get a playoff, get a hot topic, 844-843-6879. And as I talked about before the break, K-Dub, you like this story, don't you, here? Take a little bit too far. You never want to go on social media, even jokingly at this point, because in this day and age, we don't know what a joke is and what a joke isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Utah student allegedly said she would blow up nuclear reactor if the Utes football team lost. Now, I don't know what's more impressive about this. The fact that you are so crazy, a Utah fan, that you want to go on Twitter and say, you know what? We better not lose this weekend or it's going to ruin my entire week. I won't be able to study because our football team lost. Or the fact that it was a 21-year-old female, I believe, that actually said this. Yes. So a girl was that involved in the Utes football team and that passionate. Now, what would cause passion for that? Because we always joke, like, this would be like the poster board for when they were trying to overturn, like, sports gambling, the, you know, Bill Bradley's bill that came into effect, PASPA. No, this is why we can't do it, because people are going to get so upset, they're going to blow up nuclear reactors, right? Oh, come on, now stop. But what, yeah. I mean, where did this even come from?
What I don't understand, so, I don't know, maybe, like, there's some context here that's maybe lost, right? Like, the whole thing was a joke, taken way too serious.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Whatever it might be. But San Diego State, like, they were laying, like, 20 points.
Yeah.
I mean, it should have been. Should
This like, wasn't like, SC, right? Come on. Like, we're going to the like, title game.
Yes. Come on, that's my point. Like, imagine it if like officials like, hey, do we need to be worried about this? Like, no. We're laying 20. It's a cakewalk. She won't be too upset. Like, they were never losing that football game. They won, I think, 35-7 was the final score. So
now
it's just and also it is one of those things. Like, how many kids – now, how about this? How many people at Utah, students, parents of students – hold on a minute now. There's a nuclear reactor on campus?
Yeah. How'd that happen? Exactly.
How to get out of Utah.
Like, do we even know that for sure? Is that like a secret like they had on campus where they had to protect it? But play this one out, right? Let's just say, you know, a lot of the times the police officers, FBI, they monitor like social media, keywords that pop up and stuff like that. So they probably get alerted. And I don't even know when it was actually sent. Let's just say it was sent on a Friday or even game day, like during the game. Like, hey, we're down. I don't even know if the score was 35-7. So it probably wasn't close at any time. Now, would this be one of those things? Hey, let's keep an eye on this. And let's just say Utah was down 21-14 in the third quarter. Do they now send, like, the campus, like, National Guard over to the reactor to, like, surround it because this might be a viable threat because we're actually losing?
But
the,
you know, and
like, when did it come up? When did they arrest this person? Like, after the game?
And what was her plan?
I don't know.
Like, they act like the nuclear reactor is, like, next to a statue on campus of the president that's, like, easily accessible. Like, is it well known, like, where the nuclear reactor is on campus?
I'm pretty sure, because don't you have to have, like, a cooling tower and stuff? Like, when you drive by, like, a nuclear facility, obviously the reactor is, like, usually the square building, but everybody notices the cooling towers, which are the big things giving off smoke.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know, you're right, where it was, but also, when did the threat become, like, credible? Because usually it has to be credible, in a way. Now, granted, you can't just go on. It's like saying, hey, yell fire in a theater. You can't. I was joking. Yeah, you're going away for a long time. Like, you can't do that. I guess this is also one of those things saying you can't. And how's, like, were her tweets, like, back to back to back to back? Like, I can't believe this. I'm headed over there now. Do you see what I mean? Or was it just some random fired off tweet from, like, an egg account on Twitter?
Well, right. And but also, like, it feels like there had to be, like, so many, like, checks before it's like, we should put this story out, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because, like, doesn't this, like, it truly, like I mean, you have a kid. If your kid was a student at Utah, you'd be like, you do classes from home. Can we do online classes? I don't know. I feel I would be a little unsettled. That people are just running around threatening to hit this nuclear reactor. What are we talking about?
I actually would. It should have been, you know, I don't know how the story even got out, but it's one that you don't want to publicize because there's always copycats. Like, oh, see this? Let's go catfish Cal next week and we'll send an egg tweet that we're going to blow up a nuclear, even if they don't even have one or not. Like, what that can do, because it catches you so off guard. Like, hold on here. What would a 21-year-old female say if we lose to San Diego State? Like, it's like the end of the world. Like, what kind of vested interest do we actually have in this game? It would have been impressive if they got, like, an interview as she was being released from jail. Why did you do this? Well, I had a parlay, and this was the last leg. It was money line. You'd be like, oh, wow, how about that? Like, really getting up. But it just counts. It was definitely, and again, I don't know anything about the situation, but I figured it would just be fired off the cuff, and you get a knock on your door as the SWAT team comes into your dorm room. Like, whoa! I was just kidding. Well, you can't kid about that stuff.
What do you
think?
They
got
the Utah win total, like the Florida loss. We can handle. I mean, but
Cam Rising, like that was her suicide pick for the week in college football, like big money. You know, like, see, we're trying to get to the bottom of this.
I'll tell you what.
My goodness,
I had someone reach out to me early week on Survivor, It's a tough week. It is a tough week early. Look on Survivor.
All those dogs, man. Yeah.
Because I don't think so. I know we do this tomorrow. Would you have any consideration on Cleveland tonight?
No, none whatsoever.
I agree.
None.
Because obviously you can pick the Thursday night game.
You know, I didn't even think of it, which is great, too, because I like to think of things like right off the fly, off the cuff.
Mm-hmm.
It is a tough, because like you say to yourself, well, you usually want to take a home team with a high spread and sort of start there, and you start with the Chargers and go, oh, yeah, Herbert might be injured. Yeah, that's a great one to pick.
Right.
Midway through the game, he leaves with I just can't throw the football more than 15 yards. Or do you take a road team like the Eagles against
the
Guardians?
Are the Chargers the only favorite above a field goal at home?
I believe Minnesota is 5.5 and 6.
Okay. So there's only two, which is not a lot.
Yeah.
It's pretty low amount.
I don't even like that. Like, hey, let's take Minnesota. Now, I don't know if Detroit goes in there and wins it, but this isn't one of the, because usually the ones stick out. Like, oh, this is a no-brainer, man. Let's just get involved.
Last week we had 4 double-digit favorites.
Yeah.
Who all of them won. Not all of them covered, but all of them won. So, yeah, it is a tricky slate. You think there's going to be some, like, if you were trying to, like, project the field, right? Like,
yeah.
I bet you that there'll be some Buffaloes. Like, just like I need a team I can trust.
Yeah.
Right? There's definitely going to be some Kansas Cities. You're right on the Eagles. Let me ask you, how about this one? Cincinnati get considered? Well, that line's climbed up, too, now. Man, oh, man. 6.
Yeah, it's one of those where, you're trying to break this game down. You say, it seems like this is where they get right? Or the rest, it could go either way. They didn't get anything right. They're 0-3 and just write this football team off.
Mm-hmm.
Or Cincinnati puts up like 35 on Sunday and they're back.
Yeah, and here's what's being lost a little bit for me on. Now, I said this. I'm concerned about Cincinnati. It's relatively speaking, though, okay? This is a team that has played, for argument's sake, 2 games so far as a touchdown favorite. They're 0-2. They could be 2-0. Now, they would be a very unimpressive 2-0. They absolutely should have beat Pittsburgh. They lose on a walk-off field goal versus the Dallas Cowboys, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, clearly right in those games. But as they go here to play the Jets, Donnie, this is a team that was losing 30-17 with 1:50 left.
Correct.
Versus the Browns, mm-hmm. and they lost by 15 points, I think it was, to the Baltimore Ravens. So that team's very lucky to not have lost, their 2 games by 2 touchdowns each, which is why the Bengals, I think, were starting to see that number move in their direction.
Yeah, it's the way that you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You can argue, like, not that they're going to lose, but they haven't played well. If they were 0-2, that team stinks, they're done here, because they're winning ugly. So you're right. If you saw Cincinnati win each game by 1 point, you'd have a lot of different, they'll get it together. They're 2-0, man. If they're playing bad, it's phenomenal. But they're not. They're 0-2. So a lot more of that pressure certainly ratchets up at that point. But you're right. This is a fun weekend to handicap because there's a lot of interesting lines that make you go, And the one starting right away and the reasoning behind it, like if I'm just saying I'm going to lay counterculture plays here, right? Fade the public, contrarian, New England Patriots, and that's now 2.5. Like, this is one of those lines where, bringing it up, over 90% of the tickets are coming in for Baltimore. And that line sat at 3 for 3 days. Then you get the Lamar Jackson news. Oh, by the way, he hurt his throwing arm in the game on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And he didn't practice Wednesday. We'll see once the final reports come back in today. They're probably coming out shortly if they're not already released. But that's one that's getting the people's attention. But what in your mind shows you, hey, New England could play with them? I don't mean play with them, but I mean like a legitimate chance to win, which is what that means. And that line is dipping lower with public hammering the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, I think for me, there's a few ugly spots this week, and it feels like they're all moving towards the ugly team, which is pretty interesting to see so far. I would say the issue for Baltimore and what's being lost for those that are, perhaps maybe to some degree blindly betting them is just how bad that defense was last week. I'm actually interested in perhaps a low total of 43.5. That Miami defense in week number 1, we were pretty impressed by.
Very good.
I thought they looked pretty good. And I would say right now, what Baltimore did against the Miami defense is being forgotten. And then you factor in the fact that the Ravens gave up 42 points to Tua Tagovailoa. Couldn't you make an argument that 43.5 is pretty low here?
Yeah, no, you could. I don't see any reason why you can't on that part. But, I mean, the games on Sunday are going to be very interesting. Now, also keep in mind, a few more minutes left in this segment, tomorrow's edition of Moneyline. Yes, Kevin will be here, even though he probably doesn't want to be here anymore, but he'll be here on a Friday. First hour, you better get your pencils out here and your pens, because we're going to go 1 hour of college. First hour, yeah. You can call in, have some fun, let it rip. Hour number two, strictly NFL. So if you want to get your feels on where Kevin and I are going or leaning towards, it's going to be more of that breakdown type show. We'll still have our fun and spin it around, but when you want to talk about Football Fridays, that's what's going to happen here. And I believe for the near future, we're going to make sure Football Fridays stick with a nice balance of college and pro football.
Yeah, we've heard the feedback that people want a little more college football in their life, and we're glad to give it to them because we don't have the same amount of time on the early line to hit the college football slate, so we can talk, the games from that big perspective, the moving futures markets as well, and those main storylines like we talk about as we just did right with Nebraska and Urban Meyer, the kind of stuff we can get into. So definitely excited for that angle.
No, it should be nice. By the way, there is an odds boost out tonight, Kevin, for the NFL game, Pittsburgh and Cleveland.
I'm not mad at it.
It's not bad. And that is the Steelers getting 7.5 points, which right now they're getting 3.5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook. So you get 4 points there. Najee Harris to get a touchdown or more and Chubb to get a touchdown or more. Now, usually it's like, man, that seems a little bit, tough to get. What is that? Plus 140, two to one. Maybe dip your toes in the water. No, that's 8-1. It's 8-1. So if you're saying to yourself in a lower scoring game, if these teams get in the red zone, Chubb and Najee are legitimate to get in. And then if you're saying this is a tough fight and Pittsburgh and they got Mike Tomlin, they'll keep it close. You're getting more than a touchdown. That's not bad. Put it this way. That's a nice price that's going to interest people.
That's easily the best plus 800 boost I've ever seen on the FanDuel.
Yes.
If that was plus 500, I wouldn't be like, oh, come on.
And they threw in like Trubisky to run a touchdown, and you're like, stop it. I'll just bet him by myself and get the 10-1. That's usually what they would throw in there.
This is. I'm considering it, actually, if I'm honest.
Dang ye. And also, there is a stress-free bet tonight on a parlay, which I'm going to get involved in. We need some action on Thursday nights, and I have no problem giving the people what they want. Now, next, picks, and more picks to end the show today. NFL? Baseball? You got it. Come on back with Moneyline. We'll give it to you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Final segment of the day here for Moneyline. Picks, and more picks, as we like to say. Donnie, K-Dub, and JP trying to get into the mix here. Now, yesterday, I had a nice little hot streak come to a halt, and I thought I was actually going to pick up a nice easy W on the Blue Jays at a minus 106 money line price against the Phillies. Happy to lose money there, but not happy to lose on my team total either. So, rough day yesterday for your boy DRS, but today, jump back into the fold, one Major League Baseball game. I'm going to take the San Diego Padres team total over 4 at a minus 104 price. And to just dip and dab here, I couldn't pass this up. And maybe if the FanDuel Sportsbook is listening, K-Dub, they'll boost this. Chubb, Najee, Cooper, and Deontay Johnson, 3 touchdowns or more combined, plus 230. Got to get involved. And I had to hit a 7-1 on Monday night with a little bit harder bet that way. That's where I'm going on that. JP, let the people know again where you're going tonight with your prop.
Let's go with George Pickens to score a touchdown tonight.
Pick. And K-Dub, what do you got? K-prop tonight, what do you got?
No, hey, that baseball money line I gave out on Tuesday worked out nice. The 5-0 Padres win against Wainwright.
You're right.
But I like Najee Harris's rush yard. 54.5 is the number I'm seeing here on FanDuel. As far as the college sports, again, I've always told you this. If I can't bet it, I don't intend on giving it out to you. And I'm not going to be able to bet college props tonight. So that could keep me a little limited on this board. Slight chance I get involved. The other problem is that I'm in New York, Donnie. Not only can we not bet props, I can't bet Illinois Chattanooga because Chattanooga is not an FBS team, I don't think. So they don't even let me get involved with that game. It's annoying. But I'll I might be on the Coastal game total, but not sure on that yet. But I will be on the Najee rush yards.
Make sure you tweet that out to the people out here. Oh, defensive props are now up here. Man, all right, real quick here. Miles Garrett to record one sack tonight. Yeah, minus 180. Minus 180. Wow, that's expensive.
Really?
See, you know what? This market was really interesting to me because I was getting top-level talent at like a minus, like, you know, 130, 140, 150. Now we're up to the range of an automatic minus 180. Oh, my goodness. But I might still have to get involved in that. Thanks for tuning in today for JP, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh. This is Moneyline. We'll be back on a Football Friday tomorrow.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto Casino.